There's a story of a fellow named Frank. He was a former New York police officer. This happened years ago. And he shared a story about a confrontation. His father, who was an Italian immigrant cobbler, shoe cobbler in Brooklyn. And he had this confrontation with this man who never paid for his shoe shines. After confronting the man, his father said to him, "Son, never run when you're right." And that's the title of the message tonight, "When You Know You're Right." Proverbs 28, verse number 1, I'm going to read the New King James, and then I'm going to go to the Jewish Bible and the Contemporary English and the Voice. "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions." Now I'm just going to zero in on that last clause in these others. "The righteous, like lions, feel sure of themselves." That's a complete Jewish Bible. Contemporary English says, "Those who live right are as brave as lions." And the Voice message said, "The right living, however, stand their ground as bold as lions." Here, there's two kinds of people mentioned in these verses. The wicked, they run, flee in fear when there was no reason to run. You see that? The wicked flee when no one pursues them. There ain't nobody running them after them, but they're fleeing anyway. The righteous stand firm even when it looks like they ought to run. In the natural, we know that, we're in the right. When we're in the right about something, we're more courageous and we're bolder to stand our ground. You might remember as a kid growing up, when you'd done nothing wrong, you didn't have any problem going in and ask mom and dad for whatever you wanted. But if you knew you had messed up, you just sort of skirted away, went, you know, you didn't even bother to go around. How many know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there besides me? You know, that's true spiritually. When we know we're in right standing with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we can approach God confidently. James 5:16, we all know this, but I'm just going to zero in on that last clause. "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." That's the NLT version. The Message version says, "The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with." And the Common English Bible says, "The prayer of the righteous person is powerful in what it can achieve." You know, the prayer of one righteous person has power and brings results. You know, Satan is limited with his power. Circumstances have to change when we pray. Mountains have to move when we pray. God's plan has to come forth when we pray. You know, some person says, "Well, how can I know if I'm righteous?" If you've been born again, then you're righteous. That's easy. You know, when a king or a ruler or prime minister, president, whoever, gives a command, great power is released. Resources become available. People are there to do things, and stuff begins to happen. Now, right now, I could make a command and some things would start happening because these ushers would go jump up and start going to make sure it took place. Right, guys? That's because I'm in charge. When the person's in charge, he has power. We need to realize, because we've been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're in charge. Although the devil is the god of this world, according to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, but we're in charge. He's not. Now, some people act like he is, and he wants you to believe that he is. But I want you to realize that we have the righteousness of God. It was given to us. so we can rule and reign in life. That's what it says in Romans 5:17. If by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. It says the gift of righteousness. Do you work for a gift? Do you do anything for a gift? A gift is freely given. It says here that we have been given by cause of his grace, we have been given the gift of righteousness to do what? To reign in life. So we need to get, you need to start thinking who you are in Christ Jesus, what you are in Christ. See, I want to tell you something. If we can get a hold of the redemptive realities of who we are in Christ, it changes everything. Maybe I'm teaching on this because I'm getting ready to go into the second term teaching, and this is one of my classes that I teach, redemptive realities, and it's a class that I love to teach, because if I can get people to realize who they are in Christ and what they have in Christ and what they can do because they're in Christ, everything changes. Everything changes. See, you know, I'm talking about when you know that you're right. Some people ask, well, when do we know we're right in the eyes of God? Are you born again? Then you're in right standing with God. Some people say, oh, that's a big word. That's all righteousness means, is right standing with God. We don't become righteous on our own. It's because of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I guess I better slow down and let y'all catch up. My wife always saying to me, slow down so they can turn to it. You're through reading it by the time they get there. But I get to going, and a teacher's more that way, but I'm more of an evangelist teacher, and I just, when you get going, you don't want to slow down. That's the evangelist part of me. I was that for many years. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In who? In Christ Jesus. That's in New King James. NLT says, for God made Christ, who never sinned. I like that better. To be an offering for our sin, so that we might be right with God through Christ. You know, this verse lets us know that we have received the righteousness of God because of what Christ did at Calvary. He shed his blood. This verse lets us know that we are made right in the sight of God. We are given right standing. You know, when you know who you are, then you know what your standing is. Now, I use this illustration all the time, but it really brings home the point. Denise was about 5 or 6 years old, and she was in my office, I think, and then she wanted to go to my dad, her pawpaw. So I'm going to go to pawpaw's office. I mean, she took off down the hall. She went right through the door. There was the secretary. Back then, they called them secretaries. Now they're assistants. I don't know. They still do the same job. They just got a different title, I guess. And she went flying right by. Pawpaw's door was closed. She opened it and went flying right in to Pawpaw's office. Why? She had the right standing to do so because of who she was. One time she was running down the hall, about the same time she is running down the hall over in the building there, and somebody said, little girl, you got to quit running. And she wheeled around and she said, do you know who I am? And turned around and took off running. Because she knew her standing. Her pawpaw is the head over there. Hey, we got to know our standing. Our Father is the head. We have a right to demand some things. Come on now. See, actually 5:21 it's called the Great Exchange. Christ took our sins and gave us righteousness. You know, we have the same kind of righteousness he has. We have the same kind of standing with God that he does. In the army, we have ranks. Now, you know, you start out, well, I just do army. I don't know about the rest of them. They don't count. The only one that counts is, it's more like us, is the Marines. The rest of them, I don't know about. And I had to work in a comm center with some Navy guys and some Air Force guys. And I don't know. Anyway, when you first go in, you start out what they call it. I don't know what they do now. I mean, it was 50 years ago when I was in. But you start out, we call it slick sleeve. It's a private E1. And then after basics, you usually get to what your pay grade changes. You become a private E2. You might get $5 more or something. Hey, when I went in, you made $62. I really was glad when I got that one first Chevron, become PFC. I got up to $72 a month. That was what my pay was in 1965. But then you know, after that, there's corporal, and then some of them in specialists. My group was a specialist, but it was the same. It was the same pay grade as a corporal, and then that's a specialist 4, specialist 5 is the same as a sergeant. And then you just keep going on up different ranks, and with every rank, there's different rights and privileges. The higher the rank, the more rights and privileges you have. Come on now. You know. Well, you know, I mean, even when I was in training down in, after I got out of basic, and we'd already in the, you know, was down in Fort Gordon, it's doing for my signal school training. Well, I'm sitting there talking to a guy, and this sergeant walked in, because when you go to signal school, it's everybody's there. It's not just recruits. There's people who've been in the Army for a long time. This guy, he was an E6, and he was walking down. I was talking to somebody. He wheeled around and he said, "Hey," I said, "Me?" And he said, "Yeah, who are you?" I said, "My name's Kenneth Hagin." I told him who I was. He told me corporal stripes. And he says, "Snap these on. Get upstairs. You over the first squad." All right. Now I got corporal stripes on, so that give me, even though I wasn't that pay grade, I am operating in that position. I had more rank. I had more privileges than the guys that was underneath me in my squad. One of my privileges was I didn't have to pull KP or guard duty. Because of my rank. They did. Because of their rank. My point is that when we become born again, there are no ranks. Everybody is the same. Everybody has the same rights. Everybody has the same privileges. Hello? He will hear your prayer as good as he hears mine. Used to have people come around here. "Oh, I want Brother Hagin to pray for me." And I said, "Well, I'll pray for you." "No, I want Brother Hagin to pray for me." But I said, "Well, I am Brother Hagin." "Yeah, but you're the wrong one." They thought because he would pray that God would hear him, and he wouldn't hear me or them. See, that's because people don't understand who they are. When you know who you are, it changes everything. Hello? You see, everyone has the same rights and privileges. You know, the Father grants us the privilege to approach his throne boldly. He says in the Word, he said, "Come before my throne boldly." Paraphrasing it a little bit. We receive this righteousness whenever we're born again. You know, Romans 5:17 in the NLT says, For the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is the wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death. That's not natural death. That's spiritual death. Through this one man, Jesus Christ. Now, I've said this before to you. I'll say it to you again. When you see that word death in the New Testament, you need to look at the context and see whether it's talking about cessation of life or whether it's talking about spiritual death. Because there in Romans it said, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Well, we're breathing. But that means we spiritually we were dead. Okay, that's enough of that. All right. When we really understand who we are in Christ, it matters not what happens. It matters not what anybody says. We are confident that God will bring us through because of who we are. Not because of who we are in the natural, but because of who we are in Christ. Okay? You know, when you begin to look at this, you have a greater boldness when you really understand who you are. You're more courageous. You're more confident. You know, when you really understand who you are, you're bold. You don't mince any words. Okay, how many of you have a car out in the parking lot? Either you own it or you and the mortgage company owns it. But it's yours, right? Now, you go out there and there's a person starting your car up and you say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? It's my car. No, this is my car. You're not going to stand there and say, oh, okay, I guess so. No, you're immediately going to say, hey, listen, either get out of my car, I'm going to call the cops. Why? Because you know who you are. You are the owner of that vehicle. Hello? See, when the devil comes in and props himself down on the couch in your house and he starts telling you all the things he's going to do to you, you don't say, okay, and just walk out the door. No, you stand up and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Get out of here. You got to get strong in your spirit. You got to be willing to stand up and look the devil in the face. My dad says, you got to be strong. You got to be willing to step out over the aching void of nothingness with nothing under your feet but God's word that says you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore, I can do what God says I can do. I can be what the Bible says I can be. I can have what the Bible says I can have. You know, when we understand who we are in Christ, we leave insecurity behind. When we understand who we are in Christ, fear cannot reign in our lives. When we understand who we are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ. That's one of the things the devil tries to bring back to people all the time. Bring them under condemnation. Well, you were so bad. Don't you ever think God can do anything for you? Blah, 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 blah. Hey, I don't know why people listen to the devil anyway. He's a liar. He can't tell the truth. You know, how did Abraham receive righteousness? Romans 4, verse 1. Abraham, I'm going to read this from the NLT. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but they're something they earn. But people who are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives them. Abraham was not considered righteous because of anything he did. He was considered righteous because of what he believed. What did he believe? He believed what God said and acted on what God said to him. This teaches us then that we can't get God's approval or righteousness by anything we do. We only receive God's approval by believing what he said in this word right here. Faith in God enables us to walk in right standing with him. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we know we're right with God, it gives us strength to stand against all odds. When we know we're right with God, we can boldly come into the throne of grace. We can stand firm in the midst of trouble. We have courage to stand up to the enemy that's coming against us. We believe that there is nothing that can come against us and destroy us because we believe what Isaiah said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You know, as we look at this, we can look at the psalmist David and King Solomon and see what they said about we who are righteous in God but through Christ Jesus. Psalms 146, 8 says, the Lord loves the righteous. Proverbs 10, 3 says, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish or to be hungry. Proverbs 10, 6 says, blessings are on the head of the righteous. Proverbs 10, 7 says, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Proverbs 10, 11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Well, I like that, a well of life. Proverbs 10, 16 says, the labor of the righteous leads to life. Proverbs 10, 20 says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Proverbs 10, 21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many. Proverbs 10, 24, the desire of the righteous will be granted. 10, 25, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Everlasting foundation. You know, foundation is what something's built on. Now, after a house, in the old houses that they used to build, after a while you had to go in and shore up that foundation down there in Texas, because we didn't have slabs, because that old black dirt down there, when it gets dry, it dries up, and when it gets wet, it swells up. You could have 3-foot crawl space under your house during the hot time of the year, but when it got wet, you couldn't even crawl underneath there. Down there, I don't know how many times I go out beside of the foundation of the house, and there's a gap that wide. I run water down in there. I mean, I hold the hose, and I watch that water begins to get in that old black gumbo mud, and it just begins to swell up, and it'll come back against the foundation. But, you know, if you don't have a firm foundation, your house is going to fall. This building has got a firm foundation. If you were here when we built it, this is a 450-foot square. That means that's 100 yards that way, 100 yards there, 100. They took 3 feet of dirt out of here, and it was all piled up out there. They called it Hagen's Mountain. How many of you were here and saw Hagen's Mountain? Tony was on staff when we did that. And then they brought out load after load, and they formed a pad. And when they finished with that, you could bounce a ball on it like you could a cement. And this building has no cracks in it. But that student housing across the street, I don't know how many times we've had to fix that thing. I know it was a couple years ago, I think it was, they had to go in and they drilled a hole in through the concrete. And they started pumping this stuff in there to lift the floor and everything back up. Why? Because the foundation wasn't good. This says that the righteous, come on, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. That means it will never give out. Proverbs 10:28. The hope of the righteous will be gladness. Proverbs 10:30, the righteous will never be removed. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous bring forth wisdom. See, this is knowing who you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. This is telling you who you are right here. 10:32, the lips of righteous know what is acceptable. Proverbs 11:8, the righteous is delivered from trouble. Proverbs 11:23, the desire of the righteous is only good. When we know we're right with God, these are the kind of things you can expect to happen in your life. Our faith will increase. Psalms 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cry for help. Proverbs 15:29 says, I'm reading this NLT, says, the Lord is far, far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Isaiah 26:7. But for those who are righteous, the way is not steep and rough. You are a God who does what is right, and you smooth out the path ahead of them. You want to get your path smooth, then begin to claim who you are. You're a righteousness in God. Tell the devil who you are. He has to get out of the way. Now, I grew up before everybody had a television. We used to have to go down to and stand in front of and there'd be a bunch of people in front of Western Auto, or when I was nine, ten, they'd be a bunch of people standing out in front of Western Auto and White's Auto Store, because they'd have a TV in the window and they'd have it on. Most people didn't have TVs. But man, in 1955, we finally got one. But you had to have an antenna up on top of a house. Now, they had different kinds of antennas. And they cost money. But if you wanted to get good reception, you had to get a good antenna. Now, you could just get an antenna. Didn't cost very much. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you know about they had different prices on the antennas. And sometimes if they're down there in Texas, I don't know about other places, but that the wind gets to blowing. Well, it does here in Oklahoma. Wind gets to blowing, and it will move that antenna. And all of a sudden, your picture's not very good. And you go up on the house, and then you have somebody down here and somebody inside, and you start turning the antenna, and they say, okay, it's getting better. Hey, there it is, there it is. And you stop right there. Then you take the guy wires and you bind them down tight again. Anybody had to do that besides me? Go up there. Or then sometimes they had these things called rabbit ears that they set on the TV. And sometimes you had to get a long cord on it because you have to take it over by a window or somewhere to get a signal. You know, sometimes we need to reposition our thinking about who we are in Christ so that our receiver is better. Hello. Knowing what you have because of your righteousness improves the picture that God shows you in the Word about your life. You know, man, that picture could be snowy, what we call snowy. Now, we didn't have no color. It was all black and white. But you turn that antenna, just reposition it just a little bit. And it locks in on that signal. And man, all of a sudden, the picture clear. That's why we need to continually reposition ourselves, because the enemy keeps coming in and feeding us junk, and we hear this and we hear that, and this guy says this and this person says this, and the next thing you know, we're a little bit off. We pull ourselves back. When I was in the service in that angry 26D communication hut that I had on that back of that deuce and a half that I drove, and I had a trailer with two Jeep engines in it that was my generators. And you could be operating either voice or teletype, and all of a sudden you begin to lose a letter here and a letter there. And so you go over to that BC9 something tuning unit. And I'd turn my volume up and I'd start that thing, and it goes, when it hits the bottom, you're right on. Now you can operate for maybe 6-8 hours, but after that, that thing has drifted off. It's drifted off frequency, and you got to reposition. What I'm trying to say to you is that the enemy is all the time trying to get us and push us and to drift us off frequency, so we have to readjust. I got any pilots in here or anybody that flies an airplane? When you're flying that airplane, you have to continually, especially if you're flying west and you're going toward the mountains, you have to continually readjust your altimeter. You're in that thing. Because, in fact, they tell you this in training I did. If you take off in a small aircraft and you don't readjust and you take off in New Orleans, by the time you get to Houston, you'll fly into the ground because you're not readjusting. And so, therefore, your altitude is not what it's supposed to be. Am I right or wrong? I see one guy. I see somebody else. Hey, that's what we have to continually to do, because the enemy is trying to get us off course. If you're flying and you got a wind, a side wind, you have to fly what they call a crab position, like this. Although you, because the wind is pushing you off course. If you don't, you'll go way off course if you don't readjust. What am I saying? Readjust. So that you can better receive everything that God has for you. Know who you are in Christ. Know what you can do in Christ. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand up. Praise the Lord. It's 7:59, 52, 53. See, I'm giving you back just to, no, I'm not. You're going to be out about 8, okay? There it is, 8 o'clock right there. We're 8:01. I'm overtime. Say this with me. I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I have been recreated in the righteousness of God. When I was born again, Christ gave me his righteousness. I have the same kind of righteousness that Christ does. Now I can boldly come to the throne of God. Now I'm walking in the righteousness of God in Christ. And now I reign in life as a king. I know I am righteous because of Jesus Christ. I walk in victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I simply reminded these people for a few moments tonight of who they are in Christ and what they can have because of what Jesus Christ has done for them. Let us all continue to keep ourselves tuned in so that we receive all the blessings that belong to us in Jesus' name. Hey, if you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I'd like for you to find him tonight. If that happens to be you, be bold enough to walk down here so I can pray with you right now. If you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to God, anybody in this room, anywhere, come on down. Come on down right now. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. Father, if there happened to be anybody under the sound of my voice here in this building or watching that doesn't know you as Christ, your son is Jesus Christ, is the Lord of their lives, send people across their paths that will help them to be able to receive you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. Hey.